CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. You can also find her show on iTunes. Her guest today is Professor Ellis Jones, author of The Better World Shopping Guide. I'm Cassandra from CBS Sky Radio, and we're going to go right back to CJ and Professor Jones.
Hey, everybody. You know what? I am seriously getting fired up. Do you realize, actually, my heart is beating faster? I am fired up about this topic today. We have Professor Ellis Jones from Holy Cross, and we are talking about his book, The Better World Shopping Guide. You know, so often I think, what can I do to make the world a better place? And all of us, I think, deep down inside want to have a world that's better and feel like we're contributing to making a great and being in the best world possible. And the question is, what is our role in creating that world? And we have Professor Ellis Jones again, who teaches a class on consumer and corporate social responsibility, and he explores the idea of what it means to be a good consumer, a good citizen, and good corporation. And so we're going to talk about the first part, good consumer and good citizen, during this segment. So welcome back, Ellis.
Oh, good to be back.
So good consumer, good citizen, what does it mean? I think we've talked a lot about that in segment one, but any other insights to add?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I just want to emphasize how essential it is for us to take on this role that we're not used to taking on. In the 21st century, we have to think of ourselves as really, in some ways, arbiters of power, and political power as well as economic power, and we build these institutions ourselves. You know, it was something like if we measure Walmart based on its revenue, if it were to declare itself a country tomorrow, it would be the 23rd most powerful country in the world. Now, where does it gain all of that power? It gains it all from individual consumers. It gains it from us buying, you know, our everyday goods. Without us, they don't have that power. So they rely on us. They're very interested in what we do with our dollars, and this is the most effective form of communicating back and forth with economic institutions. They will do as we tell them, as long as we use those dollars to communicate.
But here's my only issue with using dollars. It's not, so let's say I don't go buy something at Walmart. Then, you know, I understand that it does have an impact, and over time all those dollars make a difference. But how will it get them to stop outsourcing their labor to children or wherever else they go, or stop buying a lot of cheap overseas products? How are they going to know that that's what I'm pissed off about when I don't go shopping there?
Well, this is a good point. I mean, there's always, just like with your representatives, the question is, how do they know when you stop voting for them and you vote for their competitor, that you stop voting for them because of reason X, Y, or Z? Mm-hmm. Now, on the one hand, it's always even more effective if you write letters and communicate in other ways and emails and so forth to tell them exactly why, just like with representatives. It's more effective if you give them letters. However, they are tracking everything we do. Just like when, you know, you don't have to worry necessarily about your politicians wondering why, you know, certain groups are no longer voting for them, or why, you know, their numbers aren't as good in the polls. They know, because they pay all kinds of people to track this. And the same is true in the economic world. Like, they understand that they are losing enormous amounts of dollars due to these various reasons, and they do things to compensate. So, for example, we know that Walmart knows this, because Walmart is constantly now in the news trying to kind of green up its own image, trying to sell, you know, 1 billion CFL light bulbs, trying to bring organic into their supermarket, trying to kind of create many more options in order to appease this segment of the consuming public that is growing and is generating enormous profits that it is losing its access to. So part of this is, I mean, back to the smiley face and frowny face, you know, some people lament the fact that many of these kind of greener, smaller companies are ultimately getting bought out by larger, kind of more profitable, kind of standard corporate names. And on the one hand, that is sad. But on the other hand, it means that they understand exactly what's going on. They understand that they're losing profits to these sectors, and that's why they're taking this so seriously. That's why they're generating these reports. That's why they're buying up these companies, is that they see the dollars that they're losing.
Yeah, no, here's my only question. Now, I worked at one of the evil companies. I've worked at two of the evil companies that you have on your list. I don't know if that makes me evil, but I did work. I used to work at Microsoft and General Electric, which I think are like on your top 10 awful, you know, go to hell if you work there kind of companies. And here's what I said. And I was in those companies making products. Now, I don't work there anymore, so I really can't speak with respect to what those companies do now. However, when I was at Microsoft working for those products and designing products, you know, the people in the corporate social responsibility groups, now they're just kind of looking at the public relations and what's our reputation? Is it good? Is it bad? What can we do to improve it? But no one ever talked to me on a product level that said, hey, you know, when you do that, that's pretty bad. You know, so, I mean, no one ever told me that. So I kind of question, like, so going back to the really doesn't matter. So I don't go to Walmart anymore because I don't like some of their environmental practices. I kind of question whether Walmart, you know, yes, someone in their corporate social responsibility knows, like, what the hot issues are, you know, because they've read your book. And they're now trying to do and look good in their corporate social responsibility reports on those areas. But I kind of question whether they're really, truly doing thing at a deep level, that they really care.
That's a great question, and the answer is they aren't, right? That's part of the reason why those companies don't get good grades. You know, every company is engaging at some level, but the least expensive level to engage at is the one of public relations, is the one to kind of what they call greenwashing. They basically begin to shift and shape their own image so that they look like they're responding to the consumer public around these issues, but instead of changing the behavior, they just change the talk about it.
Right, so, it's a marketing spin.
Exactly, and you know, this is exactly why this research is so necessary at this time, and that is that consumers cannot legitimately tell the difference anymore between companies that are just excellent at their marketing and the companies that are actually making changes on the ground that are kind of deeply felt changes that affect supply chains and human beings, you know, labor conditions and, you know, environmental pollution and global warming and all of that, that's no longer available. So this is the kind of the bad news is that the system response is a combination of, you know, response with integrity and response without integrity. And the problem is how to decipher which is which. And this is exactly why, in some ways, I started this project, is I wanted to create some kind of research hub that would cut through that greenwashing for consumers so that the consumer can say, you know what, I'm not going to be fooled by so-and-so's PR campaign. I'm still going to push my dollars over to these other companies that are actually moving forward in a real way and spending their dollars to do so and therefore need my dollars to reward their own investments.
Okay, so I'm looking at your list. You have like 25 or so sources that you merge together. And, I mean, how do I know that this is not equally biased in some progressive perspective? Do you know what I mean? So I look at this and go, okay, well, I don't know anything about these sources that you're using, the Clean Computer Campaign, the Green American Green Business Certification. These are the databases that you're using to kind of draw a conclusion on whether they're ethical or not or doing good things. How do I know that these aren't equally skewed in a different direction?
That's a great question. One of the things I do is I list all of my data sources in the back of the book and on the website, and I list all of the web links to those sources so that you can check them out yourself and decide for yourself whether or not they're biased. Now, having said that, like, I've personally gone through all of the third-party sources that are available that I have ever shown up on my radar, and I evaluate them for that same kind of standard of integrity. And let me just point out one way in which I try not to skew things. So, for example, Center for Responsive Politics tracks donations, both lobbying, well, campaign donations, and also lobbying for corporate lobbyists on Capitol Hill. And early on, I had to decide, well, am I actually going to track, you know, donating to particular parties or, you know, progressive or conservative stances. And I decided very early on that, you know, the problem is not whether a company gives to one party or another. In fact, many very savvy companies give to both parties equally in large amounts so that whoever wins, they win. The problem is really money in politics. The problem is really corporations deciding that, you know what, it's not enough for us to use our profits in the economic realm. We have to begin to reshape the democracy so that legislation now is in our favor and not in the favor of consumers. So when I use that as a data point, it doesn't matter who they're giving to. What I track is, how much money are they spending on lobbyists? How much money are they spending on campaign donations? Because I think most people would agree the problem is money in politics. The problem is we need these large amounts of money to kind of be removed from the political system so that our kind of political democratic voices can be heard clearly by our representatives rather than kind of through a filter of, oh, yes, but I need to get reelected, and the big money is over here at these corporate level.
Really good point. So, wow, interesting. So for folks who haven't seen this guide, what the guide does is it has a bunch of different categories, coffee, clothing, cleaning products, chocolate, chips, body care, and it lists, it gives ratings A, B, C, D, and F. It gives grades, and then within each of the grades, it provides a set of products. So in body care, be Dr. Braun or Method, Tweezerman, Pangea Organics is an A plus versus a D plus is Coppertone, Aired, Arm and Hammer. So I could actually look at this as a consumer and say, okay, now if I have a choice of products, I'm probably going to try to do something that's in the A plus, A or A minus. So folks, we're going to talk more about what it means to be a good company, and I have to break, so we'll be right back.